Hello, and welcome to the ADHD Deep Dive, the show that's not about ADHD, but is filled with proof it exists. My name is David J. Munn, and we're already off to a bit of a rough start today because there are currently fireworks going off outside my window. My neighbor is lighting off fireworks. For clarity's sake, it is not even noon yet. It is 11:47 a.m., so that's exciting, and I love how obnoxious that has been. I believe if you're listening to this, it is now Monday, May 13th. And I think the last time I had a solo episode was a month ago. For regular listeners of this podcast, you'll know that I haven't been doing it as often. I used to do it every week. And I realized that the topics of conversation were kind of losing quality. My interest was lacking. Just because I was kind of experiencing creative burnout for whatever reason, and the podcast was just not doing it for me creatively. I'm still not back to every single week, although I think there is a future where I will do that. I have no intention of quitting the podcast anytime soon. I just want to make sure that the conversations are substantive. And if you're new to the podcast, let me say once again, hello, and welcome to the ADHD Deep Dive, the show that's not about ADHD, but is filled with proof it exists. My name is David J. Mund. And the last month or so has been both eventful, stressful, eye-opening, and now I'm kind of existing in that post-show, post-creativity blues phase of being an artist. Just a quick recap or a quick summary of what I'm going to dive into the details on all of these things. But over the last month, I've had two shows with Midwest Skies. I have shot a vocal cover with a friend of mine. And I went back to Michigan's Mackinac Island. If you're familiar with this podcast, you'll know that I go there from time to time, as an actor with the American Immersion Theater. In the last 2 years that I've gone as Spider-Man during their Princesses and Superhero Week, which basically just means I dress up as Spider-Man. There's a bunch of princesses, there's a bunch of other superheroes, and then I'm kind of running around the island, running around Mackinac Island's Grand Hotel as Spider-Man for the kids. We have superhero training. We've got, with the princesses, there's like the grand ball, that kind of thing. That one's more for the kids. This time around, I did a murder mystery. The American Immersion Theater has a subsidiary company called the Murder Mystery Company. I think they're just called the Murder Mystery Company. One of the many things that the American Immersion Theater does is murder mysteries, and they have a yearly event at the Grand Hotel, same place that I've been doing the Spider-Man thing. And this time I got to act as a maskless person. So that was nice. I got to be myself, kind of lean into acting chops, but also improv chops rather than just being the superhero on the island. And as I sip my espresso, hold tight, let me do that. I think it's cool to maybe shout out, although they're not a sponsor, although I would so very much love for them to be. Last Mile Cafe in Grand Rapids. My usual caffeinated drink lately has been a double shot of espresso over extra ice with a little bit of oat milk. And here at Last Mile Cafe, I've been getting a little bit of maple, but everywhere else I'll get either a sugar-free caramel if they have it or a sugar-free vanilla. I just like that I can use, like, not organic. What's the word I'm looking for? I mean, maple's just essentially pure sugar, right? There's not a bunch of added sugar. I could be wrong about that. Anyways, my brain tells me that maple is more helpful or healthy than like those pumped syrups. So at Last Mile Cafe, I'll get a little bit of maple. Everywhere else, I'll get a sugar-free caramel or a sugar-free vanilla. Main point, in Grand Rapids, at the corner of Kalamazoo and Hall Street, exists a little coffee shop called Last Mile Cafe. I'll go in there from time to time. I'll do some editing. I'll just catch up on whatever type of work that can be done on a computer. And I'll have my double shot of espresso over extra ice with a little bit of oat milk and a little bit of maple. And I've gotten to a point where, at this point, I think I'm a regular, because I walk in there and they go, "The usual?" And I go, "Yes, please. Thank you very much." So if you get the chance, go to Last Mile Cafe at the corner of Kalamazoo and 28th Street in Grand Rapids, and tell them David sent you. Maybe they won't recognize my name right off the bat, but just tell them that the bald man who orders a double shot of espresso with a little bit of oat milk and a little bit of maple sent you. And then maybe one day we can convince them to sponsor the show, or at least give you some discounts. One second, let me adjust the lighting a little bit here. I don't know if that did a whole lot, but the highlights were a bit bright for my personal taste. All right, let's go order of operations here. So over the last month, starting on 4/20, so I guess the last 3 weeks, April 20th was the 4-star fest. I can't remember exactly what it was. It was at the 4-star theater. I think we called it the Sonic Fest. Sponsored by a furniture company. I don't know a ton about it. And honestly, once I do one thing, I kind of push it out of my brain so I can make space for other things. But the main point, it was an all-day pop punk festival. Not pop punk. It was just punk adjacent, rock adjacent. We happened to be one of the pop punk bands on the lineup. We played with our friends. Wow, I almost just said a name that was not correct, but that was a blast from the past. Anyways, we played with our friends in Motion Sick and American Cheese. If you have not heard of either of those bands, they are kind of dominating the underground punk, pop punk scene in Grand Rapids. They're a bit younger than us, so it was, you know, nice to see them bring out people their age who still like to move at shows. And then we followed that up the following week with a show in Kalkaska, which is my, I guess we can call it, music alma mater. The first time that I ever hit the stage, well, that's not true. When I was in the band Live for Tomorrow, which is another blossoming, booming band in Michigan, in the heavy pop punk scene, there's a few episodes where I talk about the origin stories. This band started in my basement. Feel free to check out the episodes with Nikolai Vanstinis or Ethan Hinkston. I believe there's two episodes with each of them. Maybe three episodes with Nikolai because he did a feature. Maybe even four episodes with Nikolai because he did a feature. Anyways, main point. When I was in Live for Tomorrow, one of the regular opportunities we got, being a small little band in Northern Michigan, was playing for Obscurus DM Productions, or ODP, playing for ODP's shows in Kalkaska. They were, were at the time one of the only like music promoters in Northern Michigan. I believe that they had their own label, so they were like producing and recording bands in the area, but also they were putting on shows in Kalkaska at the Kalkaska Coliseum, at the fairgrounds, etc. And then with their main hub for shows moved to this bar in Kalkaska. And then during the pandemic, that particular bar got shuttered, actually turned into a Taco Bell. And now they do shows. Actually, I'm not 100% sure where they do all their shows, but I know that every year they have their annual Troutzilla Fest, which is just a festival that apparently in Northern Michigan, in the Kalkaska area, every year they have what I think is just called the Trout Fest, and then ODP puts on the music portion of it right in the smack dab middle on a Saturday called Troutzilla Fest, which is usually just a music night of like rock, hardcore, punk, pop punk, that type of thing. So what I experienced over the last two shows was a couple of things that I want to be careful in the way that I talk about it, because it may ultimately end up sounding like I am either talking down on the promoters or talking down on the other bands, and that is not in any way what I'm trying to do here. What I'm trying to do is maybe talk down on me and my band, our band, but it's only in a self loathing capacity. Really, technically, nothing went wrong at these two shows. They were great performatively. I think that we did great. Just for our sets, how do I talk about this? So when I was in Live for Tomorrow, I played drums and then occasionally got to do a harmony on vocals. I did more vocal harmonies in the booth than I did on stage. I think back then we didn't have the opportunity to have a microphone for the drums, or I didn't know how to sing and play at the same time, or at least wasn't confident enough to do so. So I didn't get the chance to do so often. And then I left the band in either late 2012, early 2012, 2013-ish. Maybe 2014 at the absolute latest. I can't actually remember. But then they went on a bit of a hiatus for a little while, had a couple of lineup changes, and since the pandemic have locked in on a lineup, locked in their sound, and now they're doing great, all things considered. The streaming numbers are up. Their monthly streamers, their monthly listeners has remained consistently above like 10,000 listeners every month. They're booking a bunch of big shows. They've had a few of their covers and music videos take off, which has kind of lent itself to their own moments of virality, of going viral. Anyways, that big pop, that big boom happened after I left the band. The healthy part of my brain tells me it has nothing to do with whether or not I was in the band. It has a lot to do with them sticking it out, their continuity as a band, their tenacity as a band, whatever the word I'm looking for. They didn't stop. So, of course, time paid dividends, right? You continue to put in the time. You continue to see the rewards. That snowballs, blah, blah, blah. You know, success creates success. Success begets success, whatever. With Midwest Guys, it was sort of the opposite. So I actually met them, and I've talked about this plenty of times on the podcast, but for those who are new to the show, I met them shortly before I ended up quitting Live for Tomorrow. We both of our bands got to be on a Kalkaska show, an Obscure SDM production show, an ODP show, where we both opened for the band Hawthorne Heights, which to me was like, maybe even still, so far, the coolest, most surreal opportunity I've had as a musician, because I grew up listening to Hawthorne Heights. So to know that I got to be on the same show as them, even if it was just coincidence, it's all about who you know. I happened to get lucky and be on this show. It was just a cool opportunity, and it's still regarded in my brain as one of the coolest full circle moments as a musician that I've had. But I met Midwest Skies at that show. I think one of us knew that the other one was a pop punk group, and so either we pulled them up on stage first or they pulled us up on stage first, and then we just reciprocated the opposite way because we both had a Blink-182 cover in our lineup. It was either All the Small Things or Damn It. One band did one band did the other. We pulled them up for our cover. They pulled us up for their cover. It was a nice little feel-good homeboy pop-punk moment. And then we watched Hawthorne Heights. And then from there, I, like I said, became a fan of them. Their EP was relatively brand new. Their Wish You Were Here EP, which if you catch us at a show, one of my favorite things at the end of the show is to just go around and hand out CDs. I know people don't really listen to CDs as much, but at the very least, they're a nice little piece of decor. And it's just fun to spread the word in a way that, you know, how often do you get to listen to a CD these days? Sorry, there's an ambulance going on outside the house. Whatever, I'm just going to keep going. Plow through it, right? Show must go on. Anyways, Midwest Skies had kind of had some of their big moments. They got the opportunity to play Warped Tour. they got the opportunity to play with Neck Deep. They were on a Belmont show. They, what's the other band? Not Neck Deep, although that was a big one. What am I trying to say? Anyways, they had plenty of tours around the country. They had their like pop, not to say that there's not a big pop coming, which I fully do believe there is the opportunity for and for exponential growth coming real soon for Midwest guys. I have to believe that. If only for my own ego. I just mean that they had some of their biggest moments as a band long before I ever joined. So what I'm trying to say is, after I left Live for Tomorrow, they popped. Right before I joined Midwest Skies, they had popped. Certainly not had peaked, but they had some of their peaks. Where am I going with this? The main thing that I'm trying to communicate is I have not been in a band during the height of its success yet, which lends itself to have some less than, what's the most appropriate way to say this? Less than well attended shows. So, flashing back to the 4-Star Festival. I can't remember exactly what it was called, but it had something to do with that. It was at the 4-Star Theater in Grand Rapids. This was put together as an all-day festival, and a majority, if not all, of the proceeds went toward rebuilding this theater in Grand Rapids that used to exist as a multi-use building. It was a theater. Like, very clearly, there were plays and productions that happened there at one point, and also live music. My understanding is that it has not been that way for a little while because it is a bit disheveled, it is a bit run down, and so a lot of these proceeds went to rebuilding it, reconstructing it, revamping it. It was a fundraiser to help bring or restore it. That's the word I'm looking for. Restore this theater back to its former glory in hopes that it becomes a venue for music and events once again. And throughout, it was a well-attended event. Plenty of people there, and especially for the final headliners, there was a good group of people up front who were moving, who were active, who were doing their circle pits and their mosh pits and whatever, and dancing around and having a great time and singing along with the words. And of course, a big part of that is credited to the headlining bands Motion Sick and American Cheese. Like I said, they're on fire right now in the local Grand Rapids scene. They're all incredibly talented musicians. And they're capitalizing on what seems to be a resurgence of punk music, pop punk music in the area. And they're just young enough that a lot of their friends and fans still go to shows. I don't think that I'm old. I'm getting older, certainly. And there is a degree of elder millennial, elder pop punkers, elder Midwest emos that either don't go to shows anymore and just listen at home, or when they go to shows, they just kind of want it to be low key. They want to chill, have a good time. They don't want to get involved in the pit. They don't want to move around. They don't want to jump. They want to come in. They want to protect their earring or their hearing with earplugs, which, another thing, not only do we sell some earplugs for $1. At our merch table, because you want to protect your hearing. Those are the fancy, like, three-tiered earplugs. I always keep these little foam ones on me. Of course, again, not a sponsor. Protect your hearing. It even says right there, concerts and loud music, motorsports, power tools, shooting, travel, and sleep. Extreme comfort, easy insertion. I always keep a motherfucking thing on me. I keep that fucking thing on me as well. What am I trying to say? I'm just saying I always have earplugs on me. So if for whatever reason you come, you don't have $1, let your little bald boy know and I might slip you a pair of foam earplugs, because I would rather you protect your hearing so that you can hear us in the future than not be able to hear at all. Because let me tell you, the tinnitus, she has set in. That's what I hear all the time. In relative silence. That's the only sound I hear. Where was I going? Oh, so for the first, we were put right in the middle, which in theory is great. You get the best of both worlds. You get all the people at the end, you get all the people at the beginning, people are who just didn't happen to show up in time. We'll have an opportunity to catch us, and vice versa. The people who want to leave will be able to, or leave early will be able to catch us. So, you know, I thought we had a great slot. The way I'm setting this up, I really guess it might seem like I'm complaining and I'm blaming somebody other than myself. I'm literally just blaming myself here for what I'm about to reveal, I suppose. It's such a large venue. And there was such a big open floor plan that by the time that we went on, not to say that there wasn't people there for us, there was plenty of people there for us, but it takes a lot of courage and initiative to start the, all right, everybody, move forward, move up towards the stage, especially if you're like comfortable standing in the back where you are. You don't want to get involved in any pit. You don't want to get involved in any crowd or mosh pits or anything like that. So we played to a good amount of people who I saw were engaged in the music, but it kind of looked like staggered. Like there was a few people over here, and then there was a few people over here, and then a few people up here, and then plenty of people up here. And then there was a bunch of people in the like sound booth area who were like hanging out by that I did see were actively like shooting the devil horns or giving like a couple of fist pumps here and there. But when you don't see people like moving, especially when you're like trying to be active and big and energetic and, confident on stage, there's something about that. There's something about the optics of a sea of people that help motivate some of that energy. And when you don't see a bunch of people moving, especially in pop punk, it's a little bit deflating. And so you start to think like halfway through, like, do these people not like me? Do they not enjoy me? Why aren't they coming up towards the stage? Do they not want to be close to the stage? Is it because we sound bad? And then you run the risk of being like, you know, your option is like, you can choose whether or not to say, everybody come on up to the stage. Like, we want to see you closer. Like, we want to see you move. That goes one of two ways. Well, it goes one of three ways. The most ideal way is that they all go, oh yeah, finally, I just need somebody to ask me. And then I needed to see somebody else do it first so that I can get the confidence to just follow, because nobody wants to be the first, right? So that's the most ideal way. You ask, they answer, they come up to the stage, and then they start having a better time, or you start having a better time, or you, it's a give and take, you feed off that energy. Or you tell them to get up to the front of the stage and then they just don't. Like, there's no like, no, we're not going to do it. It's just, they just don't. They don't do it. Which ends up being a little bit awkward. And then the third is kind of tacked onto that. You say, come on up to the stage. And then you hear a bunch of people go like, no, you suck. Has anyone said, no, you suck? Not in as many words. We had a show at the Crowfoot in Pontiac a few months ago. What is time? I don't remember. Anyways, we had a show at the Crowfoot with Action Adventure, Keep Flying, and shit, I'm not going to remember their name. Cliff Diver. And yeah, there was a definite cluster of people. I want to say maybe 40, 50 people who were just like 10 feet away from the stage. They were all clustered together in their own little pocket. But then I said something along the lines of like, come on up to the stage. And I think I heard someone that I knew make a joke along the lines of like, just saying no. They said no. And then I was definitely a little bit buzzed, definitely a little bit upset, and definitely a little bit insecure in that moment. And I said something along the lines of like, in significantly different words, no, you suck. And let me tell you, don't insult your crowd, or that'll just put a sour taste in their mouth. They're like, well, this guy's talking shit on me. Why would I like enjoy him? Not that I think that they turned away or anything like that. But I remember I heard like a, no, you suck. And then I said something along the lines of like, no, you suck. But with a lot less of a sarcastic inflection. And I saw James and Kyle both look at me like, what are you doing right now? What are you saying? So I had to eat my words a little bit. Anyways, that moment has gotten in my head so much that like, I don't ask the crowd to come up now. I leave that to James or Kyle and I just do my thing in the back. I sing and I drum and that's it. I am a very animated drummer. So like a big part of what I do these days is just like, I'm going to move around as much as I can. I'm going to headbang. I'm going to, you know, raise my hands. I'm going to do whatever I can. But I'm not going to ask the crowd to come near me. And if I see that there's like a sea of emptiness, I just don't look. I do the like look at the corners of the room. I close my eyes. I look at the hi-hat. I look at the microphone. I definitely close my eyes a lot when I sing into the microphone. And if you're watching the video version, especially because like, you know, the audio quality is going to lose here, but if I'm playing the drums and I'm facing you, the microphone is over here. So I'm drumming and then I have to lean over like this to sing. So what I'll do a lot is I'll drum like this and then I'll actually turn like this and sing. So I'm looking up this way. I'm still not looking at the crowd because also I have the excuse of being like, if I'm doing it this way and the microphone is facing this way, I'm not singing directly into the microphone. So I got to make sure that I'm singing into the microphone and I just look away like this. Anyway, I got really in my head at that show about the fact that there was definitely plenty of people engaged, but not all together and not up front, that I just kind of spiraled in my own head. The same thing happened the following week in Kalkaska, which, to be clear, Kalkaska shows, and this is not a dig on ODP or Kalkaska in general, Kalkaska just, you know, not a very well attended venue often because A, it's in the middle of nowhere in northern Michigan. And like not a lot of people know that music is happening there because the usual hub, if you're in northern Michigan or in that general area, is like Traverse City for live music. So people are going to Traverse City for events and they're going to Traverse City for events on the weekend. And Kalkaska is like 30 to 35 minutes outside of Traverse City. So it's enough of a hike for people who don't really go to live music to be like, I'm not going to that one. But also for people who do go to live music, it's like, well, it's not going to be a well-attended show, so I'll just stay home on this one. That said, on the flip side of that, the people that do go to Kalkaska shows, I'm eternally grateful for, A, because you've given me a place to play music over the last, 10, let's see, Live for Tomorrow started in 2009. I want to say our first Kalkaska show was maybe 2011, 2012, something like that. So for the better part of 10 to 12 years, even though I definitely took a good amount of time off in the middle of that, it's always been a place where we can play music, even if it's like a live show practice with a few people scattered across. They love it. They're very appreciative. They're willing to spend money on merch. And they're appreciative of the fact that like we're coming to their small little town because they don't get a lot of live music other than these obscure SDM production shows. And if they do, they have to go to Traverse City or they have to go to the outskirts of those areas. That said, again, not incredibly well attended, but the commitment from the fans is a lot more intense when they do come to these shows. Quick thing, I have to clip this because whatever. For those who don't listen, my camera only records for 30 minutes at a time. Okay, to cap that off, let me switch into the Healthy Brains view of those events. I am lucky to be in a band whose music I enjoyed before I joined. And I'm lucky to be able to play on stage in front of people who want to listen to live music. There are some people who come for just us. And now a lot of that is credit to James and the former members of this band for writing music that kind of led us to this point, because all of the music that has been released since I joined has also been the all of the music that's been released since Kyle joined. So these last two singles that we've released have been the newest music that Midwest Guys has dropped since 2016. So I have to believe that as we continue to drop more music, we're going to open new eyes. We're going to remind people that Midwest Skies is still a thing after all this time. I think that's one of the through lines that we've found for the last couple of shows, is some people have been like, I didn't even know you guys were still around as a band. And while that's frustrating to a certain degree, everyone has their own lives. Everyone's got their own stuff going on. And so, you know, I can't blame people for not knowing that the band is around and active, but the only way to do anything about that is to continue to release new music, continue to put out new music videos, continue to play a bunch of shows. And I am lucky to be able to do that. The unhealthy brain just tells me I deserve more. Now, just to be clear, this is the unhealthy brain, not the correct side of my brain. I do not deserve anything. Carte blanche. I mean, right? That's the phrase. I don't deserve anything when it comes to this. I feel like, I don't know, there's some optics when it comes to like looking out into an empty crowd or an empty-ish crowd. I'm going to just drop that point because I sound like a big entitled baby. I'm lucky to be able to do live shows. I'm lucky to be able to write music. And the next song that comes out from Midwest Skies is the first song that, while of course Kyle and James had a major part in making this come to life, I can't really play guitar other than some power chords. This is a song that I was able to write fully. I wrote all the lyrics. I wrote the riff that the song is based on, and I brought it to the guys saying, I think I have a song. And then we workshopped more of it from there. I personally believe, and again, this is not, this has nothing to do with me in general, although the unhealthy part of my brain could allow me to say that I did this. I believe the next song is going to be one of the better ones out of Midwest Sky's entire catalog. And again, this is an equal process. Both myself, Kyle, and James are responsible for a third of everything. It just feels good to know that I brought a riff, a song idea, a song title, a song theme to the table. We saw it through. It's about to come out. Well, I don't have any information on release dates. I just know that it's written. It's now in our live set. And it sounds fucking so good. And I'm so proud of it. So let me just quickly look at the calendar. I believe our next show, this one's not for sure. I have on my calendar written May 26th, Sunday, May 26th. I don't think that we have a show that day. TBD. We'll talk about that in the future if I find out that we actually do. I don't remember why I wrote that on the calendar, but I know for a fact that we have a show at Mulligan's in Grand Rapids on June the 14th. So June 14th at Mulligan's in Grand Rapids. Come see us. Come hear the new song. I don't think that the new song will be out by then. I could be wrong about that. I don't know. But if not for the band, then for me, because 4 days prior to that is my 30th birthday. And so I would really like to kick things off with a well-attended show, with people who know words to our songs, who are interested in just hanging out with us and having a good time. It'll be a really nice way to kick off my 30s. We did have plans for a weekend long tour. We had ideas on Chicago and Pittsburgh and Columbus, and we were bringing some friends from Toledo. I will say that that has fallen apart. So if I've talked to you personally or if I've talked on this podcast about our weekend tour in June. My understanding is that that's not happening now, but we are still doing the June 14th show at Mulligan's in Grand Rapids. More information to come in the future, but just check out either our website, MidwestSkiesRock.com, or follow us on social media and learn some of the words to the new songs, especially Come Back For Me and Setback. Those are the only two songs that I've personally had a hand in writing and recording since joining the band, but there is much more where that came from. I'm going to clip this real fast, and just 1 second, I'll be right back. All right, y'all, if you're watching the video version, see that skull? See this? This is not a punk house, it's a punk home banner. All of these things are available at catandcrew.com. That's right, they're the first sponsors. Catandcrew.com, enter the promo code Monday, it's Monday, M-U-N-D-A-Y, to receive 10% off of your final purchase. You can get those koozies, you can get banners, you can get earrings, you can get coasters, you can get skull planters. I think it's really cool that they decided to give ADH Deep Dive listeners an exclusive deal, because, you know, it's cool that we're building a little audience here and that you guys get to have some sort of special perks that nobody else gets. So if you aren't familiar with it yet, go to catandcrew.com, enter the promo code Monday, M-U-N-D-A-Y at checkout, get 10% off your final order. Okay, back to the show. And before we talk about the murder mystery experience, I want to talk a little bit about some other stuff that I'm trying to do creatively to help kind of bust me out of these creative lulls. Because like I said, the unhealthy part of my brain is not the correct side of my brain, but it still exists. I still have that inner monologue issue where I'm like, you know, at the most unhealthy, I'm like, we suck, I suck. Nobody knows about us or nobody wants to hear us, so I should just give up. That's obviously not correct, but it does exist as a voice inside my own head. But what I'm trying to do is diversify my creativity a little bit more. So in the past, I've really put all my eggs in one basket on creative projects. So like when I first started YouTube, I was like, YouTube is the only thing I do, and that's it. And so after a few months, if like my YouTube channel isn't doing particularly well or isn't getting the type of not attention, but I'm not getting as much feedback on my YouTube as I had hoped, then I look at that as like, I suck. Because it's my only thing and I identify with this one creative pursuit. And if this creative pursuit is not, and again, here comes the unhealthy brain, not giving me the fame and glory and money that I was really hoping for, then that means I suck. It's not true. It's not true. It's just my self-sabotaging nature. Same thing with music. Midwest Skies had like a really big pop for a minute when we came back with Come Back For Me, the first single since 2016. And then since then, it's kind of diminished a little bit. And so do I reflect on that big pop? No, I reflect on the we suck, nobody wants to listen to us, XYZ. And as I'll talk about in a minute with this murder mystery experience, I had this fantastic, beautiful, wonderful, amazing experience as an actor where I got to portray a role that was outside of myself. I got to throw an accent in there and kind of not be David for an entire weekend. And then when I'm back in the shoes of David, I'm like, they only liked me because I wasn't me, or whatever. All the many ways that I can slip into negative self-talk, I do it. But the difference now is that I'm trying not to put all my eggs in one creative basket. I'm trying to diversify my creativity a bit. So I'm doing a bit more of these murder mysteries. I'm doing stuff with Midwest Skies. I'm currently slated on May 21st and 22nd to have Alex DeSico, friend of the show and creative partner on a bunch of different like little comedy projects, to do exactly that. He's coming out here and we're going to shoot a few comedy sketches which is going to be a nice re-engagement with the creative, funny side of myself. I feel like oftentimes I pigeonhole myself into being a serious creator or whatever. I want to be taken seriously because of drama or thrillers or whatever you have. Sad shit. But this is going to be a two-day period dedicated to funny, whether that's shot vertically for whatever, your TikToks, your Instagram reels, your YouTube shorts, or shot horizontally in the more traditional film approach, which I think I'm going to ultimately want to do because I think there is an appetite for horizontal traditional content. I don't know. I still watch shit on YouTube, so I just gaslight myself into believing that everyone does because I still have never downloaded TikTok. I don't make many Instagram reels that have anything to do with comedy or sketch stuff. So anyways, this is just going to be a creative experiment. Rather, how do I want to phrase this? It's just an experiment in saying, yes, we're going to do some comedy sketches that both of us wrote, both of us conceptualized, that I think are pretty funny, that I think you'll find very funny. Does it mean it's going to be the thing that, like, changes my life forever? And probably not. And when that thing comes out, will I probably ultimately be like, regardless of the numbers, will I assume that nobody likes me and nobody loves me? Yeah, probably I'll still do that. Even if the number was 500 million, I would end up, once the streams finally slow down, I'll go, they never liked me in the first place. It was just the algorithm. Even though so many times throughout my creative pursuit, especially recently in the last 5 years or so, when the algorithm has been the thing that wins, I've been like, why doesn't the algorithm pick up my content? Why doesn't the algorithm pick up my content? The algorithm is screwing me. The algorithm is out to get me. When the algorithm does finally pick up my content, especially like it did with Penelope, which if you haven't seen, please, please go to the @DavidJMund YouTube channel and check out our short thriller film, Penelope. I'd say it's rooted in horror, but it's not a jump scare type film. Just a fun exploration of thriller creativity. But anyways, when the algorithm picked that up, my excuse, my self-sabotaging inner monologue was, it's only doing well because the algorithm, it has nothing to do with you. You still suck. And that's not sustainable. That's just not a sustainable point of view. It's not a sustainable mindset. Anyways, I think I'm saying all of that to say that the next thing outside of Midwest Skies and those comedy sketches is I'm doing another vocal cover. It's already been recorded. It's already been shot. It's currently being mixed and mastered with my buddy Spencer. Follow him on social media @WithinTheViewfinder. Or I think it's searching for Spencer. He's got two different Instagrams at the very least. I'll either put those in the description, but if I forget, just follow my Instagram to see the behind the scenes content about it. Anyways, I recently did a cover with my friend Matthew Grotis. We did a vocal cover of the band Beach Fossils song Down the Line. It's an indie, I believe they even refer to themselves as Dream Pop, which I've kind of capitalized on with my own solo digital type music. I call it Dream Pop. And if you don't know my solo music, it's To The Sea, or on Instagram @MusicToTheSea. I think maybe that's also the YouTube channel as well. Either way, it's just stuff I make in GarageBand, little singles, solo creative adventure where I don't know, make some dream pop in GarageBand. So tamper your expectations. I just think they're fun things to do. Anyways, where was I going with this? Oh, we did Down the Line by Beach Fossils. Spencer and I are dropping a cover of In Bloom by Neck Deep. So the vocal range is being pushed a lot further. We're going to do the same type of behind the scenes type music video where it's not going to be like a super well-produced, like shot edited music video, but there's a few like well-framed shots where we're singing and the rest is just like behind the scenes type video of us mixing and shooting and recording and whatever, having fun. So stay tuned for that. That will be on the Mundman Drummer channel. the OG channel. For those of you who listened way back when, in like middle school or high school, that was the channel I started where I used to do daily vlogs. And man, how cringy were those? Oh, I'm so glad those don't exist in any capacity anymore. Maybe they do on the deep, dark depths of the internet, but my understanding is that they've all been deleted from my YouTube channel, so you can't find those anymore. But I used to do daily vlogs when I was like a sophomore in high school. So you can only imagine the lack of content that I actually had to talk about, but I was somehow so desperate for people to listen to me that I talked to them every day. So much has changed. What's going on here? I think I need to change the lighting a little bit. Give me just one second. Whatever, we'll call that good. I don't even think much changed, but I don't know. I was catching some weird reflection in the camera that I thought needed to be addressed. Anyways, so new music from Midwest Sky is coming out. New music from, well, new covers on the Mun Man Drummer channel. New comedy sketches coming on the at David J. Mund channel. Excuse me, my goodness, that was gross. At David J. Mund, at Mund Man Drummer, both my separate YouTube channels. Okay, let's talk about this murder mystery. So yes, I work for the American Immersion Theater Company, which I've talked about in the past, has subsidiaries, the Murder Mystery Company and the Princess and Superhero Company. And I believe they also have a subsidiary called Famous for a Day, where you can just hire a bunch of actors to come out and for somebody's birthday or somebody's wedding or whatever, a celebration of a particular individual where a bunch of people come out and act like paparazzi and fans and they swarm them at whatever your place of choosing. And, you know, it can be a short little 10 to 15 minute experience. It can be a half hour. It can be an hour. I think it could be up to like 2 hours or something like that. Because I'm sure that the recipient of the Famous for a Day bit would probably get over being bombarded by a bunch of actors as though they are a famous person after a little while. But I'm sure the charm exists for up to an hour or so before it starts to wear off. But kind of irrelevant to what I'm talking about right now is the fact that the owner of the company, Scott, recently pitched the murder mystery portion of the company on Shark Tank during an episode where the guest host, the guest shark, was Jason Blum of Blumhouse Productions, which is a production company for many, many films, both horror, drama, thriller, all within that. Anyways, and Jason Blum ended up being the shark who decided to contribute, who I think Scott asked for maybe $350,000 for maybe 10% of the company, and he got that from Jason Blum. So Jason Blum from Blumhouse Productions is now a shareholder of the Murder Mystery Company, and I think that what he ultimately will provide for the company is like access to, because... And maybe one day I can even get Scott on the podcast to talk a little bit more about this. I'm sure it would be something he loves spreading the good word about the company. I don't know him very well. I have met him a couple of times, but it's a nationwide company. So they're all over the place. And before the pandemic, they used to have public shows, which is basically like, hey, the Murder Mystery Company is going to be at this hotel or this restaurant or this casino or this wherever. Sign up to be a part of it. And then during the pandemic, of course, everything shut down. But I think they tried to revamp with like Zoom shows, which then slowly worked its way back into private shows. So it was like you could hire the company for your birthday or just for a random event for your company. And we would come to you rather than you come to us. And that's kind of how it's been. For a while. And that's my understanding is that's the bulk of how this company works. And again, I could be corrected on this. Maybe if I ever get Scott on here one day, he can talk a little bit more in depth about how that's not the case. I'm just repeating things that I've heard. Sorry, I got to get more espresso in me. But for the most part, public shows had stopped. right after the pandemic. My understanding is that they're coming back, but one of the things that Scott was hoping to get out of the Shark Tank experience was someone to just kind of provide that Rolodex of locations or names to help get us into those bigger casinos out in Las Vegas or those big events out on the West Coast or in New York City or whatever, just to have the access to places for public shows to pick back up. And yeah, Jason Blum made the contribution, is now a shareholder in the company, and I believe that is how that will be reciprocated, is he's going to be able to provide more venues for the Murder Mystery Company to do public shows. But for the most part, still private shows. And I guess what I'm about to describe is kind of a hybrid version of public and private shows, because, and again, if you've listened to this podcast in the past, you'll know that I went to Mackinac Island. And actually, if you're from out of Michigan, there are the two peninsulas, the lower and upper peninsula, the UP, or the Mitten. And it's weird, I guess, describing this to someone who's not from Michigan, because everyone I've ever known has known what Mackinac Island is, because we're pretty much all from Michigan. But the only way to get from the main Mitten portion, the lower peninsula of Michigan, up to the upper peninsula is one of two ways. You either take the Mackinac Bridge, which is just a straight bridge that connects the two peninsulas, or you take a ferry. I think it goes into St. Ignace. I could be wrong. But in between those two peninsulas is Mackinac Island, which is just this tiny little island. No more than maybe, I don't know, freaking 5 miles across. Not even. I mean, across probably 2 or 3 miles. I don't know. There's no way I could be correct on that. I just mean it's a very small island. And for the most part, when you show up, other than emergency vehicles, like an ambulance or like a maintenance, lawn maintenance type vehicle. Anyways, there's no vehicles on the island. For all intents and purposes, there's no vehicles on the island. Just horse-drawn carriage, people on bikes, people walking. And it's kind of like you're sent back into the freaking 1800s. Some of the houses are still exactly as they were back then. It's very historical. There's a fort there, Fort Mackinac, on the island that was used to defend the island. I mean, they even fire cannons out. There's similar to how there's war reenactors, because of course the island was colonized when the Europeans came in, and I don't know the history of whitewashing in this country in exact terms. I don't know the names of the native tribe that was on the island, but definitely it was colonized at a certain point. But then once colonization had happened, of course, now it's this port for whatever, so it had to be defended in whatever capacity. And when you're on the fort, you're just surrounded by water, and it's kind of weird to like look out there and put yourself at a point in history where you could imagine ships coming in to invade the island, because that's exactly how that would have gone down. Anyways, it's just a moment in time, part of the history, and it's locked in that time. Time locked. There's a phrase that I'm missing here, but I mean, you can understand what I'm trying to say. And on this island is a thing called the Grand Hotel, which is just an absolutely massive hotel that I believe, maybe I'm going to butcher the specifics, it's either has the largest porch in Michigan, the largest porch in the country, or the largest porch in the world. Probably not the world, but it's a very long hotel on the edge of the island that overlooks the lakes, the Great Lakes, and you can see the Mackinac Bridge from it. And the entirety of the building has a big, long porch. It's absolutely grandiose, beautiful. It is a beautiful hotel that, again, is kind of locked in its time locked. And this is where these events are typically held. So for the Superhero and Princess Week, everybody gets ferried over to the island, and then you know, we spend a good portion of our time in the Gerald R. Ford room, which I think is just a room named after Gerald R. Ford, but also I think was like where he stayed when he came to the island, because it was like when you go out there, there's like a governor's mansion out there. So like the governor has a spot where they can stay. You know, if you're having any type of, you know, whatever, it's just a grandiose place for the wealthy and or famous and or powerful and or well-connected or any amalgamation of all of them. This is the show that's not about ADHD, but is filled with proof it exists. Need I remind you? Anyways, that is where that happens. And our green room ends up being this room that's like, you know, red, white, and blue. There's pictures of Nixon and his resignation, and it's just a very historical in that capacity. I don't remember exactly why it's historical politically in that way. All I know is that Gerald R. Ford used to sleep in there, and that's where we have our green room. So again, during the superhero and princesses thing, that's where we spend our time. But during this murder mystery, which, just to be clear, there's many things that I'm not going to be able to talk about because this is a show that we do elsewhere. The show was called, I think I can at least say, the show was called Till Death Do Us Part. And it's billed as a wedding that goes wrong. So if you've never done a murder mystery, gosh, how do I recap that if you've never done one? So in blanket terms, a murder mystery event, if I need to explain it, this is me stalling for time as I figure out the proper way to explain what a murder mystery is. This one happened to be a shit ton of people that went, but it can also be like four or five attendees. I think the first time I ever did a murder mystery, it was just a group of like 10, 15 friends. But it is an event, a scripted, for the most part, event, where there's a clear first, second, and third act, a murder takes place, and you are to solve the murder. The murder mystery company puts on these shows that they have written and then hires actors, such as myself and others, to see it through. So we know who is killed, the arc of the story. We know who the killer is, but we also portray roles, improvising throughout the weekend. Although, just to be clear, they are not all long events like this. In fact, typically it's just a one day, one evening, maybe 6 hours tops event, where act one, two, and three take place. There's time for investigations, where you go around and you ask people questions because you are designated either a character or a group. So like for this example, you're at a wedding and you just show up. You know that this event is taking place and you know that it's a murder mystery, but you don't know anything other than like the main theme that you're going to be attending a wedding where something goes wrong. You've signed up for the murder mystery, so you probably know that somebody's going to die, but you know nothing other than the fact that you are there for a wedding and that something is going to go wrong. Then myself and other characters are introduced to you as like, this is this person, this is this person, this is this person. Feel free to talk to them, ask them any questions that you may have, and then they will answer honestly. So now as a character, I know my character only knows so much. As David, I know the entirety of the story. I know what happens. I know who done it. I know who got killed. I know what this character knows. But for Act One, I'm only answering questions that you ask me that my character would know the answers to. And then you, as the attendee or the guest, get your answers out of me. You go over the other characters, get answers out of them. You talk to other people over here. Then you can talk to other like table teams and be like, well, what did you learn? Even though it is kind of a contest to a certain degree, but it's a lot of like playful banter between a bunch of different people. And then you have Act 2, where we reveal a little bit more information, and now you go around and you talk to us about that. What did you learn about this? Then we have Act 3, where you obviously learn like the final little bits of details, and then by that point, you are to, as an individual or as a group, submit your answer. Who do you think did it and why? What was their motive? How did they do it? And then the quote-unquote winner at the end is someone who not only guessed it right, but got all of the details correct, the motive and the opportunity. So one of the things that we say right up front is like, you know, all of these X amount of people, whether it's 10, 15, or just sometimes it's a one-actor show, all of these people are suspects. Some of them had a motive. Some of them had an opportunity, but only one person had both motive and opportunity, and it is your job to help us solve this murder. And in this particular example, it was a weekend-long event. So day one was Act 1, day two was Act 2 and 3, and then day 3 was final investigation, submit your answers, tell us who did it, and then you go about your merry way. Like I said, this could be a six-hour event, and more often than not, it is. So like we get called out to birthday parties or corporate get-to-know-ya events. And there's a suspension of disbelief that you have to have as you go into it as a guest. That like, you know, for example, in this particular example, this story was set in the 1920s. I have a nose piercing and a neck tattoo of an alien abducting a human being. Were they going to have that in the 1920s? No. But there is a suspension of disbelief. So when you come in as a guest, you kind of just have to immerse yourself. Now, not everybody does. And some people get caught up in the moment and they kind of forget. And so they'll actually ask you questions. Like I'd have people like during investigation times be talking to my character and they'd be like, so how long have you been a part of this company? And I have to be like, what company? I'm not sure what you're talking about. And then they have to like, oh yeah, he's on right now. He's the character. He's not the actor. And then on the flip side, you know, you might see me around the island where I'm not in character. I'm not in costume. And then they're like, again, without providing any details, my character's name in this show was Skip. And so they'd be like, Skip, how's it going, man? And I have to be like, have we met before? I don't think I know you. It's nice to introduce. My name is David. It's nice to meet you. And then they have to be like, oh yeah, right. This is not murder mystery time, or this is not real life time. We are suspending our disbelief to be immersed in this particular example. Some people just keep that going and you have to, as an actor, because a lot of this is improv. It's just rolling with the punches. Of course, I know my bullet points, but I have no idea what people are going to ask me. You know, more often than not, people are sticking to the theme and the rules and directions and are asking me questions that only my character would know, or questions that my character may or may not know, but it's all relevant to the show. But then you'll get some people who just like, they can't really wrap their head around the concept of like, this, we're playing pretend right now, because we kind of all are. Many people, most people, if not all people, showed up in costume, immersed in the 1920s. Now, of course, people would like later on be walking around in like their hoodies and shorts or whatever, but I'm still in character. But they have to keep in their mind that they are in a story. And even though they're not an actor, they are viewing the story. And, you know, if you're watching a movie, and you've always been like, well, why is that character doing that? I don't understand. Why is he doing that? You actually get to ask the character, why are you doing this? Why did you do this? And the information you'll get out of me is either like, that was just purely coincidence, I don't know. Or I'll actually be able to answer, well, let me tell you why I did this. I did this because X, Y, and Z. And X, Y, and Z happened because I think you might want to talk to that person over there because I'm a little bit suspicious of them. That's not David. That is the character, of course, telling you. Which means then when you ask me questions, I can point you in the right direction. But only if you're asking me the right questions. And when you're a participant in this, you actually get like play money that you can use to like bribe people. Now, there's no like, and maybe this is spoilery, but my understanding, even though sometimes maybe this is not correct, at least for the shows that I've done, the money doesn't really mean anything. So if you get to the end and you have the most money, that's cool, but it's not really relevant. But there are certainly some events or companies. Sorry, Gus is very loudly breathing and he's kind of hitting that certain register where like he's whistling and I know it's getting picked up on the microphone and it's one of those things that just drives me up the fucking wall for some reason. Anyways, you can use this money to bribe people. So as an actor or as the character actor, I don't really take the money because I'm like, you know, you think that you need the money. So I'll give you this one for free. All right. I'll tell you this one for free, but you can use the information that you learn from me. If you're talking to like another team or another participant, if they want a little bit of information that they believe your team might have, maybe they'll slide you a little bit of money and be like, now, what did you learn? And then you can have this like playful exchange of money and bribery and whatever. I think that's pretty much all I can really say about like the details of the company, the event itself. Only because like there's so much context that you're missing without knowing the details of the story that I just can't. I can't put out publicly because this show is repeated often. It's not just a one-time thing. But it is cool to be at a point in my life where I can act and it's not live theater, although there's certainly elements of live theater, but it's like it's a combination of live theater and improv and comedy. And flexing your confidence. Like in this particular show, my character was like a big flirt. So the entire weekend, I just flirted all weekend, but I like could have definitely been in my head about that if like it was David being flirtatious all weekend, but it was Skip. So that's all right. I can just let go and lean into the confidence a little bit. So it's nice. It's a nice opportunity to get out of your head and just reward yourself. Well, I'm going to talk about me in this regard. Reward myself for the hard work and self-loathing I've put myself through over the last 30 fucking years. And just turn off the David part of my brain for a little bit. I am not. David's worries don't matter right now because David isn't here right now. I am this particular character. If even for 6 hours, David's life doesn't really, I can't think about David's life because I'm not David. If I'm thinking about David's life, then I'm not thinking about the character's life. And if I'm not thinking about the character's life, then I can't provide you with the proper context that you need as a guest participant in this show to solve this murder. So I gotta put it all aside and just be the character, which leads me to the part I feel like I always get to in these podcasts, the bummer, the downer that I don't necessarily want to go out on, but I must talk about in some capacity because this is relevant to more than just the Murder Mystery Company and more than just acting and more than just this show in general, but coming home from a show with Midwest Skies or coming home from an experience as a director or cinematographer or photographer when I turn off the character or the performer or the professional, when that guy gets turned off, I'm then back home and I'm David. And while I'm definitely getting better at being David, for a lot of my life, I have loathed David. And so I look forward to these opportunities to not be David because I get to exist outside of myself. But then when I get home and I'm back in my own bed and I'm looking at my empty bank account and I'm being hounded with calls from collections, and I have my own inner monologue issues, and I'm just back to that. Sometimes it ruins the experience that led up to this reconnection with David. So back to that, like, unhealthy slash healthy brain. The healthy brain should come home and reflect and be like, wow, we just did that. Isn't that so cool? How proud of us are we? Like, I should be so proud of myself, because so many times in my life, I've wanted these exact experiences. I've wanted to be back on a stage playing music. I've wanted to have an opportunity to act. I've wanted to have an opportunity to direct. But there's this like scarcity mindset that when the unhealthy brain takes over and I'm back home, I sometimes tell myself something along the lines of like, well, that was great. Too bad that'll never happen again. Or, yeah, that happened, but so what? Your problems are still real and they haven't gone away. But for a minute, if only for a minute, they did. They did go away, which means even though they like maybe continue to come back, this like pain isn't permanent. But that's the healthy brain recognizing that the pain isn't permanent. The unhealthy brain goes, the good is impermanent. And those moments are fleeting. Unhealthy brain sees the bad as the permanent. The healthy brain sees the good as the permanent. And to kind of maybe work our way out of this episode, because in about a month, well, if you're listening to this, less than a month, talk about the impermanence of life, I will be no longer in my 20s. My 20s will no longer be. I will turn 30 on June 10th. And is it a big deal? No, it's just another year. The difference between 29 and 30 isn't the difference between your 20s and 30s. It's just the difference between 365 days. I turned 29 in June 10th of 2023. I turn 30 in June 10th of 2024. That's really it. The Earth still revolves around the sun. Sun still moving at light speed throughout our galaxy. Our galaxy still moving at light speed throughout the universe. The universe probably existing in a pocket of other universes. But that's not for today. The main thing is time continues. And not that much will have changed. But what I must have change, what must change in my life, is my perception of my own reality. I must stop viewing the pain as the permanent part of my life. Because I know in this moment, right now, it's not permanent. Maybe, again, it continues to come back and it continues to slap me. But when I was this character on Mackinac Island, I didn't think once about my bills or my stresses or my loneliness or my toxic self-loathing. I didn't think once about it. When I'm on stage, I don't think about it at all. I just think about like the click track in my ear, the lyrics I'm about to sing, the songs we're about to perform, the beauty of live music. I don't think about it, which means it's not permanent. And the hope is that in my 30s, I will start to bridge that gap between the unhealthy and healthy brain and view my life and these creative experiences as opportunities for connecting with the healthy brain rather than as temporary pauses for my misery. I can use my 30s as an opportunity for growth, reconnecting with my art, I can learn to start taking things a lot less personally. And these are all things we'll talk about in the episode once I do finally have my birthday. We'll talk about all that. And I'm sure you'll get a nice glimpse of the unhealthy and healthy brain. But what I'm saying in this moment, in this sober moment, aside from my caffeine, double shot of espresso over extra ice with a little bit of oat milk and a splash of maple syrup or sugar-free caramel and sugar-free vanilla if you got it, but I prefer the caramel. My sober, relatively healthy brain tells me my pain is not permanent. And even though there will always be some semblance of pain, I don't have to dwell in it. I don't have to exist in it permanently. I can handle those stresses as they present themselves in my life, but they don't have to dominate my point of view. They don't have to dominate the way that I think about myself or the world around me. As long as I continue to make myself available for creative opportunities that I find enjoyment in, then I will find enjoyment in those creative opportunities. And that's kind of the goal, right? Like, I always wanted to do cool things. Now I'm doing the cool things. I can't write them off by saying, yeah, but I wanted to do cool shit. I'm doing cool shit. The more I complain about it, the less cool shit I'll have. The less I complain about it, the more cool shit I'll realize is happening right now, in this moment. Like this espresso from Last Mile Cafe, located at the corner of Hall and Kalamazoo in Grand Rapids. Ah, shit, it's sweating on me. All right. I think we did it. Let's see what else we got. Maybe should have put this up front because I always forget to talk about it. I have a Patreon. The link is in the description. Right now, there is no exclusive content. I would like for there to be exclusive content in the future, but right now I also don't have any patrons. I don't have any Patreon members to give exclusive content to. So if you would like exclusive content outside of just a one-day early access to the podcast, because episodes are released the day before on Patreon, that's the bare minimum I've got right now, consider becoming a member at patreon.com. I think it's /David J. Mund. I could be wrong, so don't just type that in after you've heard it. Click the link in the description. Tap the link in the description. Membership starts for as low as $1 a month, and that doesn't go into my pocket to pay bills. The hope is that in the future, it can go toward better audio equipment, better lighting equipment, better camera equipment, things to better the podcast and the visual medium of creating content. That's kind of the hope for what that source of income would be. It wouldn't be for groceries or paying bills. It would go toward making this space both here on the ADHD Deep Dive channel, but also at David J. Mund on YouTube and the Mund Man Drummer channel. It is all going to go toward making better content for you to consume. So consider becoming a member at patreon.com for as little as $1 a month. That's $12 a year paid monthly. So cancel at any time if you decide that your dollar a month is being wasted I understand. Check us out, Midwest Skies. We've got new music coming. And again, it's something, the next song at the very least is something I am very proud of. It was a very cathartic writing process. I'm very attached to these lyrics because they are relative to or relevant to my own life and my own story. And I'm really excited for that to come out. Consider buying some merch at MidwestSkiesRock.com or come see us at a show. Like I said, the next one is June 14th at Mulligan's in Grand Rapids, the week after my birthday. You know, come celebrate with me. If you haven't, I'm going to continue to promote this poster back here. Where the hell? Let's go this way. For our thriller horror short film Penelope that we made last year, probably around this time, I think. I could be wrong on the specifics, but it was last year, calendar 2023. Shit, man. And go to catandcrew.com, enter the promo code Monday. That's M-U-N-D-A-Y. That's Cat and Crew, K-A-T-A-N-D-C-R-E-W. Enter the promo code Monday, M-U-N-D-A-Y, for 10% off your first purchase. They've got much more stuff than I have mentioned in that ad. That's an old ad, and I do intend on having them back on the podcast where they can update you, update me, and then we can update the ad going forward. And for the hell of it, one more time, check out Last Mile Cafe at the corner of Kalamazoo and Hall Street in Grand Rapids. Tell them the bald guy who orders a double shot of espresso over extra ice with a little bit of oat milk and a splash of maple syrup sent you. So thank you again for joining the ADHD Deep Dive, the show that's not about ADHD, but is filled with proof it exists. My name is David J. Mund, and I'll see you next time, whenever that is. Bye.